Electricity, a big idea that's inspired countless new ones. From powering the light bulb to virtually powering our entire lives. 30 years ago, State Street launched the Spider S&P 500 ETF, SPY. A big idea that inspired the world to invest differently. And still does. What can you do with SPY?
Before investing, consider the fund's investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses. Visit SSGA.com for a prospectus containing this and other information. Read it carefully before investing. SPY is subject to risks similar to those of stocks. All ETFs are subject to risk, including possible loss of principal. Alps Distributors, Inc. Distributor.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another CNBC Tech Check Plus live stream. My name is Brandon Gomez, and today we're here to discuss how companies can address the wage gap in tech and beyond. And who better to join me for that discussion than Fair Wage champion, U.S. Women's National Soccer Team star Megan Rapinoe, recently joined Trusaic as Chief Equality Officer, and also joining her is Trusaic CEO Robert Sheen. Thank you both for joining me today.
Thank you.
So I want to kick things off with you, Robert, because for the folks who tune into Tech Check, but maybe aren't familiar with the work that Trusaic is doing, can you just lay out a little bit of a roadmap, right? You're a software company specializing in HR, but how are you approaching HR? How are you providing that data to help companies move in a positive direction?
So at Trusaic, what we do is we deal with the most difficult part of a business, which is the data, the regulation, and people. And with a pay equity software called Pay Parity, we provide do-it-yourself pay equity audit and also on-time, on-live, analyzing the, measuring the diversity equity goals, setting the goals, measuring that, and also pinpointing where the problems are so that you could achieve pay equity.
So you're essentially taking on sort of that workload, that workflow that companies would need to do to sort of see, listen, hey, there's a problem here and it needs to be addressed.
That's correct.
So Megan, I mean, given that being the mission of Trusaic, you know, you recently joined as Chief Equality Officer and also going to be focusing on closing the wage gap for women, you know, the racially charged wage gap as well. So can you tell me a little bit about maybe why you stepped in at this time, why Trusaic, how they came onto your radar?
For me, this is a really exciting partnership. Obviously, I've been sort of in the middle of my own personal wage gap fight, which obviously we had a really big win yesterday ratifying the new collective bargaining agreement and achieving equal pay. I think the thing that's most exciting for me is it feels like the next step of the fight that we have. Like it's gotten all the media attention. We know there's a wage gap. We know it's way worse for women of color, indigenous women, black women. We know that it's better for the bottom line when you have pay equality. We know it's better for the economy. We know businesses run better. We know the cultures are better. We know all of that is better, but it's like, how do you do it? And so this is an actual tool that you can use throughout your entire company and use on, you know, very complex problems. I feel sometimes that our wage gap, it was sort of simple. It was like the men's team versus the women's team, and you could tell really easily. But if you have to, you know, account for race or age or sexuality or position in the company or tenure in the company, I think this is a tool in the pay parity tool that companies can really, you know, take their desire to engage in pay equity and their desire to do this and actually put it into action, which I feel like that's kind of the next step is actually doing something about it and giving people a really clear roadmap and a tool to do that.
And I appreciate how humbly you simplified your work on this when it comes to U.S. soccer as well. I want to hone in specifically and then broaden it out as well, because, of course, we are Tech Check. Right. And so we are talking about, too, the wage discrepancy within tech. STEM is a field where the wage gap persists constantly. I mean, I was just doing some preliminary research and found that DICE, which is a tech focused career marketplace, found that more than half of Asian, Black, Latino, Hispanic employees perceived high levels of income inequality. I mean, Robert, what issues are there uniquely that you're seeing in tech as you're crunching these numbers, as you're doing these sort of audits that need to be addressed?
Yeah, so what we're seeing in the tech industries is that there are a lot of problems, just like any other industry. So in the tech side, there's pay gap of $15,000 between men and women. The gap is about 17.5%. But I think the more interesting and more problem that we see is that there are only about 20% of women in this tech industry. And tech industry is highly desired, high pay, high profile. And so when the companies don't comply, you see a big headlines like what you have seen with LinkedIn and Oracle a couple of years ago. And so they need to resolve this issue. And it is complex.
You know, I think about that and in what you're sort of saying, right? The participation rate, you know, is different too. And I think that careers in STEM have shown, you know, to pay well for the women that are within the industry. Obviously, there is still that gap, despite that fact, right? So we also have a time where more women are being encouraged to step into STEM careers and to pursue STEM careers. And there are more resources specifically targeted to address that gap. And I mean, Megan, I think about it sometimes as slightly as a parallel, you know, within the professional sports industry and the gap that, you know, you work to close there. You know, how do industries successfully bring equal opportunity for women and break down this perception that men do dominate those industries?
Yeah, I mean, I think men don't dominate those industries, but they're just being given way more opportunity, obviously. I think for me, it's sort of this like dual focus. You obviously have to have the desire and the willingness and, you know, the work ethic to commit to pay equity. I think a lot of companies want to just like immediately get there, and that's not possible. We've been entrenched in, you know, gender disparity and discrimination and pay equity for a long time. So you have to have a pretty big will, I think, to do that. And then you need a tool to do it. You know, a lot of these companies, they aren't Robert. Obviously, they're not, you know, a company that is completely designed in a person who spends all of their time doing this. So they need help. And that's, again, that's what I love about this platform, is that you can actually give companies the next step of that. But I think in general, there still needs to be that sort of desire or will to actually do it. I think, you know, like, what is it, like 23% of companies actually use a pay equity tool or analyze, like, that's just ridiculous. I think that's totally absurd, especially considering, like, we know through the data that it's better for business. It's better for your company's bottom line, you know, in terms of financially, it's better for the culture. And ultimately, obviously, it's better for the economy and better for women and men throughout the country. But I think it's kind of a longstanding issue that seems really hard and sometimes a little confusing, but hopefully with a tool like this, more companies can actually take that next step that they really need to and commit to this.
Yeah, and Megan, the number you're referring to, right, is one that CNBC Partners Just Capital crunched together and found that only 23%, right, of the largest US companies, including tech, but of course not limited to it, are disclosing that they conducted a gender pay gap analysis. And so, right, we're talking about less than a quarter of those sort of Russell 1000 companies that Just does cover. So, I mean, Robert, is that number surprising to you, given the what you're seeing out in the industry as you're working with companies? Obviously, we're talking about tech, but also at large, would you expect that more companies are doing this, especially given the fact that there has been so much focus in recent years on closing that gap?
You know, it doesn't surprise me at all. Yesterday I was talking to somebody from San Francisco in the VC, and they were wondering why it's not being implemented. And so they spoke and surveyed about 100 companies up there. And so there's initiatives on the top, but the company doesn't know how to implement this. And so now they're asking lawyers and consultants, and that could get very expensive. And so they're still going with that traditional route if they have a budget. And also, I'm getting, you know, as we talk to these folks, they want the quarterly report on the ESG, and the DEI sits on that S of the ESG. So there's a lot of barrier. They don't know what to do. Even so, it could be very cost prohibitive.
Are you seeing that's sort of the main deterrent of doing these analyses is sort of the cost that it would be to employ this. I mean, I think tech is interestingly well positioned in the sense that, right, a lot of tech companies have very strong data analytics. I mean, all companies do at this point, right? Everything has a hand in the tech space. But when I think about like the leading tech companies, I feel like they might be better positioned than most to run this. But are you saying that the feedback that you're getting is that maybe it's a difficult legal hurdle? It's an expensive legal hurdle.
Well, you know, Brandon, the Equal Pay Act has been the law since 1963, and it's almost 60 years, and we're still talking about this. And to me, it's like a freeway without any cops. There's no enforcement. And so now what we're seeing is that the legislators and the people are demanding it. So you're seeing a legislation in California, Illinois, and you're seeing a lot of legislation in the EU. So I think what's going to require, and what we're seeing, is that the 60 years is enough. And now we're going to legislate to enforce it, just like having a policeman in a freeway to enforce a speed limit.
I mean, Megan, I see you nodding, you know, as Robert's talking, right? That reality, right? That this law has been here for decades, and yet it seems like, you know, we were saying, what fortunate timing in terms of having this conversation today, especially given yesterday what happened within U.S. soccer. But really, that's a milestone 60 years, right, in the making. So what are your thoughts when you sort of hear Robert, you know, talking about it in that way, Megan?
Well, kind of what I was going back to, I mean, I don't think anyone in power really ever gives up that power. They, you know, all these companies also, I think, don't want to admit that they have a problem, even though we know everybody has a problem. But it's like saying it personally, saying it yourself, you're admitting something, rather than just being like, you know, we did get it wrong in the past, and this is what we're doing to rectify it going forward. But I think Robert's right in that, you know, whether we have to start legislating it, whether it's, you know, the sort of tide of the culture has changed, but there needs to be an emphasis, and I think, you know, a public pressure, and I think a pressure within certain industries, company to company, to make this a reality. You know, people in power and status quo never want to give that up, never want to admit that they're wrong, never want to admit anything other than, you know, they're doing amazing. So I think a little bit of a pressure, whether it's publicly or privately, is going to kind of be the way, because I think we've seen, I mean, I'm sure, you know, obviously we have this fight, and I know for us, we had to do this dragging them, kicking and screaming basically the entire time. I wish it didn't have to be that way. And I think that's obviously a reason why it's taken so long, is because, you know, the average woman in the workplace doesn't have either the bandwidth or the ability or the desire to engage in such a public fight like that. But hopefully, as more tools are starting to become available, as public pressure starts to become a little bit higher, maybe there's more legislation happening that can actually police this and enforce it. You'll see that tide change. But I think, honestly, a lot of CEOs and C-suites and companies need to look themselves in the mirror and say, we are not only a huge problem and not only a huge part of the problem, but we can actually be part of the solution as well. You know, nobody expects anybody to be perfect, but continuing to do the same damaging things over and over and over, now you're just part of the problem. So I think we're at a point now where we have enough information and we have enough tools like the Chuseq pay equity or pay parity tool, that companies can start actually engaging and being able to get on the other side of this in a really meaningful way.
And you have that tool. And I'm thinking about, you know, like in New York, where salary transparency will be required, or at least it's potentially going to be required within new job postings. And I can see that becoming a legal action that folks follow as well when they're having this type of conversation within HR departments. And again, you know, as you're sort of working with them, Robert, I do also want to discuss the needle that is moving forward, some of the victories, right? Yesterday with U.S. soccer. I mean, Megan, what was your reaction when that headline crossed?
I mean, I've been knowing that it's coming for a little bit, it's really, truly is monumental. It really is. I mean, obviously just, you know, thinking about where I've come in my career and, you know, the women before me, thinking about the landscape that is women's sports right now. And then just thinking about this next generation and all that they will be set up to do and just grow from here is extremely exciting. It doesn't mean the work is done. Obviously, there's an element of holding feet to the fire. And until the systems and norms and processes are put into place to make this feel second nature, I think that, you know, we need to be diligent and be on the lookout and make sure that we're continuing to push this forward. But I don't think it can be, you know, overstated how monumental this will be in the short term and the long term, not just for soccer, but hopefully beyond in sports and hopefully for women all over the world.
Well, and something too that hopefully your experience, you know, within that battle within your sport will translate now over to the work that you're going to be doing with Trusaic as well. And I mean, Robert, you know, what I would love to get some more insight too as to sort of what your hope for, you know, in this partnership is, or sort of where you see Trusaic growing in acquiring and working with new partners. And I would love to, you know, maybe think about within the tech industry and your tech partners that you have, but then also maybe broadening it out.
Yeah, you know, we want to achieve pay equity, and we really have now a big voice, and Megan has been a key figure in equal pay movement, and we're really excited. And the as a chief equality officer, so we created this role called Eve Suite, and it's in parallel with our C-suite. And it's just to remind everybody that equality, equal pay, and equity is an everyday thing. We're going to be working with Megan to shine the light as to how to best get to the pay equity, and also work with initiatives in the nonprofit section. They are advocating for civil rights.
You know, I think about, right, we've been spending so much time talking about pay equity. I think sometimes it can be thought about as employee to employee. Obviously, there's a much longer conversation to be had about CEO and executive compensation in comparison to entry-level employees and working the way up the ladder as well. But I also think beyond the wage gap sometimes, right? Like, I think about lack of equitable access to resources and benefits like healthcare. I mean, I think we're also seeing a conversation about that happening right now, right? Where we have employers who are asking, you know, what could happen at companies if the Supreme Court does overturn Roe versus Wade, right? You know, what would that do in terms of equitable access to benefits? And so I wonder if Megan, in your new role, in your capacity, obviously focusing on addressing the wage gap, but also thinking about how that extends beyond and goes into equitable access to benefits. You know, have you thought about maybe in your role what that would specifically mean for women, for trans women employees, what an overturn would mean to their access to benefits?
I mean, yeah, it's obviously extremely scary. And you can just see already, I mean, obviously we haven't even had the decision from the Supreme Court. It was just a leak of the draft, and you already see all of these trigger bills in states. You see it go far beyond just abortion rights and access to abortion into contraceptives and many other things. So I think it's a really scary time. And obviously, when we talk about pay equity, that there's a lot that goes into it. And I think, you know, Robert was saying about the E-suite and just equity and equality in general in the workplace, I think is still an issue, whether you talk about accessibility for differently abled people or you know, trans people in the workplace or women of color or people of color in the workplace. I think we have a long ways to go. You can't really pinpoint one thing without kind of talking about everything. And then obviously, you know, from a legislative standpoint, something like overturning Roe v. Wade could have, you know, sweeping consequences, not just for people who live in red states, but for the entire country. So it is kind of a scary time. And I think a time where companies should and can step up and try to fill those gaps where necessary so they can retain great people that work in their company. They can retain talent, and they can retain, you know, women of color, trans women, and other people that are vital to a healthy workplace.
Yeah, and Robert, I mean, I'll turn the last question to you in that same thought process when you're discussing, you know, maybe that area of equitable access to benefits with employees. Obviously, you're working with companies who are across the country, perhaps globally, right? So like these are very specific conversations to be having with individual companies. How is Trusaic getting in there and working with those companies to help them figure out how their HR departments can create change for their employees?
Yeah, so we have to look at a total comp, and that's beyond just the salary. You have to look at the bonus, you have to look at benefits, you have to look at stock options and incentive plan that's in place. Obviously, women have a lot more barrier than men because they carry a lot more burden, not just in their career, but their home. Now, with these type of barriers put in place with, let's say there was overruling of Roe v. Wade, and you're going to see a lot of minority, low-income people not having access to be able to exercise their rights. So all those needs to be considered. How are they going to get there? Let's say somebody's living in one of those states that doesn't have any places to get their treatment. How are they going to get to another state? And I think those are big concerns that we have to break down the barrier. If we want diversity, we want to close the gap, then we have to break those barriers down and give everybody the access and equal pay.
Well, I think we were able to start, right, an important discussion today. We were able to continue, rather, I should say, an important discussion today about closing the wage gap in tech. And so I want to thank you both, Robert and Megan, for joining me today to have this discussion with our Tech Check Plus audience. So thank you both for joining me.
This podcast is supported by FedEx. Dear small and medium businesses, no one wants happy customers more than you do. That's why FedEx offers you picture proof of delivery, packageless and paperless returns, as well as weekend home delivery to 98% of the U.S. on Saturday and 50% on Sunday. See the FedEx service guide for delivery information. FedEx Ground service is also faster to more locations than UPS Ground. See what FedEx can do for your business. Absolutely, positively, FedEx.